This episode of the Rental Income Podcast is brought to you by the all-new FreshBooks, where you can create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to my listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/RIP and enter Rental Income Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today is a really conservative investor. He actually calls himself a scaredy cat investor. But he hasn't let that stop him from building out his rental portfolio. And I really admire that because there are a lot of unknowns and there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you're investing in real estate. And if you're too conservative, that can really paralyze you and stop you from ever getting started. My guest has a great story and a great strategy for building out his rental portfolio. So I want to hear exactly what he's doing. So let's take a real quick break. We'll get a word in from our sponsor. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll meet Mitch Jaworski from Florida.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of the ultimate guide to passive real estate investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com/guide.
Mitch, let's start at the very beginning. What got you first interested in investing in rental properties?
Really, I fell into it because a friend of mine, his dad was renting a home that was being foreclosed on because the landlord was not paying the mortgage. So we were watching a football game one day and, you know, I heard this and it just, a light bulb went off and I said, you know, hey, if I can get a, you know, property with the same number of bedrooms and rent it to you for the same price, would you want to do that? And, you know, he was ready to go. He just basically told me, let me know when I should move. So, I basically started my investing career breaking that rule of don't do business with friends and family. But, I feel like, knowing my soon to be tenant, you know, gave me a little comfort given the fact that I have a risk averse approach. And, at that time, I really didn't know anything about screening a tenant or, you know, kind of doing background checks and things like that. Luckily it worked out and, he's actually still in that property. And it's been a little over 3 years now.
Okay. So, I mean, that sounds like it worked out great. So you just knew him because of your relationship and you figured he's probably been paying rent or he wouldn't be living where he's living now. So you kind of, without doing a formal background check, he wasn't just some random guy you plucked off the street.
Yeah. Right? And now that you mention it, I guess, you know, by default, there was, I guess, some background because he was in that previous home for 5 years.
Right.
So, you know, he had been paying rent for 5 years. So I knew that clearly, you know, he was solid, at least in terms of rental payments. So I'd actually had been, you know, in the home once or twice. So, you know, I saw that, you know, it wasn't, you know, a disaster and he maintained the home. So,
right. Okay.
I guess in a way I accidentally did a tenant screening.
Right. So your qualifications for that first property is you just wanted something similar to what he had right now.
Yeah. Right. I mean, very simplistic. This was before I kind of went down the rabbit hole of, you know, investing and learning about, you know, rental property investing. So, really, it was, all right, I need to find a 3-bedroom place. I need to find a 3-bedroom place that is, you know, within a mile or two to where he was currently living. And also something where I knew that the rent he was going to pay me, you know, covered my mortgages, you know, my mortgage, my taxes. I didn't know about kind of reserves and maintenance back then. Luckily, you know, the numbers still ended up working out. But those are, you know, essentially, you know, newbie things where, you know, you don't know what you should be factoring in mm-hmm. to get correct calculation for a true cash flow number.
Right, right. And so with your conservative approach, you had a 20% down payment for that property?
I did. I put 20% down. I took out a traditional 30-year mortgage. I mean, it really was no different than if I was buying the home, you know, for myself in terms of the process.
Okay. After you bought that place and you saw that you were cash flowing and this was actually making you money, is that then what kind of said, maybe we should do this again? Maybe I should buy another property and keep growing the portfolio?
Yeah, that's when the light bulb started, you know, flashing, and I realized that, you know, rental property investing is awesome for a few reasons. And, you know, one, you have someone else paying down your mortgage. Two, if, you know, you do buy right and it cash flows, you have passive income coming in every month, mm-hmm. you know. And three, you also have the possibility of appreciation, you know, especially if you live in a market like I do in South Florida, where, you know, things do move up and down more so than, you know, in other areas in the country.
Right, right. So when you're looking at a deal, do you factor in appreciation, or are you counting on that this might appreciate, or do you kind of put that out of your head? And if it happens, it happens. But if not, whatever.
It is completely out of my head. Okay. I look at appreciation as icing on the cake. When I look at a property, I mean, you know, maybe it's my financial background, but first thing I do is I run the numbers. I have a property calculator that I use in Microsoft Excel. I run the numbers. I see if they, you know, work at all. And if they do, then I'll go look at the property. But yeah, I don't factor in appreciation as a decision maker, so to speak.
Okay.
I want to see that the property cash flows and that, you know, that cash flow, you know, there's a buffer there, so to speak. I mean, I generally have like a minimum target I go for. And I know based on that, if for any reason, you know, my rent is stagnant for a year or two, let's say if the economy is bad or something, I know that I'm still going to be making some money. It may not be as much as the prior year, but, you know, I have enough of a buffer where it's still going to cash flow. So I don't really have to worry about whether the home is going up in value, down in value, or sideways, as long as I, you know, have it filled and am collecting rent.
Is there a typical target that you like to see for a property, like a certain dollar amount that you want to make per month?
I'm also looking at cash on cash. I mean, I do, there is a dollar amount, but I guess that's relative to the price point of your property and the market you're in. For my area, I'm generally trying to get at least $200 in cash flow per property. And that is, you know, obviously factoring in money for a month's vacancy, you know, maintenance, reserves, all that.
Right.
You know, There's times when I'm bringing in more money than that, you know, when, you know, you have a tenant that renews and stays multiple years. Well, you just picked up a month's worth of rent right there
right.
for the year. You know, and then you know how it goes with the maintenance. You have periods where there's nothing for a long time, and then all of a sudden you get hit with a few things in like a 2 month span.
Absolutely. That's always the way it happens. Yeah. You'll go month after month after month without anything, and then all of a sudden you'll have seven things come up at the same time. So yeah, that's the way it works.
It's what is that they say? Everything happens in threes.
right.
Yeah. I just went through that. I had a nice long stretch of nothing. And then, just this past month I had three things pop up. There was, you know, two issues at one property and then one at another. And it all happened literally within a 1 week span.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's so important during the good times to save money, so that when those big things do come up, or even a bunch of little things come up, you're prepared and it doesn't ruin you.
You know, and it's important you mention that, because what I see a lot is, so there's a few different real estate agents, you know, that I work with down here, And don't get me wrong, they're good agents, but, you know, they have a different perspective if they're not, especially if they're not active investors. And they'll bring me things and be like, oh, you know, this has a 10 cap or a 12 cap. And then, you know, I take the information in and then I run the numbers myself. And I'm just like, yeah, not so much.
Right. Because
they don't factor in maintenance and reserves. And, you know, you have to do that because the bottom line is you're going to have things pop up that you have to spend money on. So right. either A, you're coming directly out of pocket, you know, or B, you know, your numbers aren't what you think they are.
Mitch, I want to talk to you about how you used equity from the house that you're living in to buy your second property. But before we get into that, I want to take a second and thank our sponsor, FreshBooks.com. FreshBooks has made my life so much easier. It used to be a nightmare keeping track of miles and business receipts. But now with FreshBooks, it's so simple. I just take up my phone, I take a picture of the receipt, I log it into FreshBooks, and I'm done. It takes me literally seconds to do this. The other thing that is really cool, just a really neat feature that they have, is you can send invoices to your tenants. Now, this is an interesting fact. They found that 60% of people, when they get an invoice, they pay it within one day. So if you're having trouble getting your tenants to pay rent on time, send them an invoice to remind them that rent is due. They can click on a link and they can pay you directly. Super simple. It takes about 30 seconds to send out an invoice. So it's a really great thing to try. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to my listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/RIP and enter Rental Income Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/RIP and enter Rental Income Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, Mitch, let's get back to the interview. So tell me about your second property.
That was a little condo I bought. That one was actually my largest renovation project, which was nothing crazy because it's a 2-2. It's more so a villa, you know, one story building. It's about 1,000 square feet. So wasn't too crazy to overhaul that one. That one, basically, I used an equity line on my place. And then some savings to buy that one in cash. I actually bought it off one of those third party auction sites, which was different for me. And the only time I've done that. So tell
me about that. So you couldn't see the inside of the property before you bought it, right?
Actually, no, I could. I could.
Oh, okay, good.
I think I'm too much of a scared. It was on lockbox. You know, realtors could take you to see it, all that good stuff. It's not a typical foreclosure. You know, it's kind of like an REO essentially, but for some reason they use these third party auction sites as opposed to just having it straight listed, on the MLS. Never quite understood. Yeah. It doesn't seem really beneficial to the banks, but
yeah.
Anyway, I was actually able to see it and, there wasn't a whole lot of interest in it, which worked out for me. So I got it for a pretty decent price. I mean, not crazy below market, but enough where I could buy it, do the renovation, and I still had some equity built in off the jump. So that worked out well because, you know, luckily I have a handyman that does pretty solid work for an extremely fair price. So you know, he got in there and I actually jumped in with him and we replaced the floors in the bedrooms, you know, new toilets, new vanity, you know, sinks and faucets, you know, and then I replaced the appliances. And that was the gist of it, you know, mainly cosmetic stuff. And outside of that, the property was in good shape.
Now, so that for your first property, we talked about how you didn't really need to screen the tenant because you had the relationship, but this was your first stranger that was coming in. Did you kind of figure out how to do screening on this one, or how did you Yes. check out the tenants?
Yes, this was essentially the learning experience, you know, going through the process of showing a property and fielding calls and I wanted the experience. So essentially I could obviously do it again in the future, but also for, you know, when I hire property management, I also know how to kind of vet them out and what questions to ask and see how they go about things. So Yeah, I listed the rental myself, and I was, you know, doing the screening and the calls, and luckily, from going to some local meetups, I have an investor friend who, you know, handles all his rental properties. So he told me some of the services he uses to run background checks and credit and all that stuff. So I piggybacked off of that, and yeah, I you know, met potential tenants at the property, and I learned a few things real quick. I now know why people schedule showings in clusters, because a lot of times people don't show up.
Right, right. Did you get a lot of that?
Not as much as you'd probably think. I would say maybe, 25%.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't too bad. I mean, and luckily the property is not far from where I live. I mean, it's literally about 2-3 miles down the road.
Okay.
So. Yeah, so I didn't mind. I didn't mind showing it and everything. I didn't do that for the most recent property I purchased. It's about a 30-minute drive from me, so I actually decided to hire a realtor to do tenant placement for me. And unfortunately, that wasn't the best experience. I probably should have just done it myself, but I also, you know, learned some stuff from that experience in terms of, you know, who you want to use and how to go about it when you're hiring someone else to do tenant placement.
So, tell me about this. So, where did things go wrong?
Well, the first thing I learned was there's a difference between buying and selling a property and renting a property in terms of what realtor office you want to use. So the first thing I would have done differently is I would have went to the first three offices that were nearest to my property and basically walked in and seen how busy things were and what was going on, and then used one of those. Mm-hmm. The agent I used, you know, was in an office that was two towns over and, you know, really didn't specialize in the area. So that's definitely the first thing I would do differently. Little things like in terms of like, you know, you basically sign a contract with them, you know, to fill your property, and they'll give themselves a certain time period. When I signed that contract, I was in the midst of doing the renovation and trying to get the place ready by that weekend, that I kind of didn't even notice everything. And, you know, the time period was a lot longer than I would have otherwise, because I got to the point where, all right, I essentially want to fire you guys and do this myself. And then I'm like, wait, I can't, because I gave you guys way too much time to fill this in terms of number of days. So that's something else that, you know, I now know going forward to pay attention to.
So how many days would you give someone?
You know, that's actually something that I think you have to negotiate. In my area, I feel like if you can't get something rented in 45 days, then you're not doing a good job. I mean, there's a lot of demand in South Florida. You know, people move here every single day.
Yeah.
So that would be kind of my
kind
of breaking point. I don't know if, you know, they're willing to do that amount of time. You know, they might want at least 2 months, but, you know, I've been able to fill my properties myself on my own, you know, all within a month every time. So if I'm not a quote unquote professional, then you should be able to do it in the same time frame.
Right. Yeah. I got to think, of course, every market is different, but I got to say, if a property is sitting vacant for more than a month, something's wrong. You know, and your price might be wrong, or the condition, or there's something wrong. It shouldn't take months and months to rent a property in most markets. The other thing with a realtor that's tough, getting a realtor to rent your property, is that they're not making that much. Like, you know, maybe they're getting a half a month's rent or maybe the full month's rent, but it's not a lot of money. So I think that they don't always have a lot of motivation, where if they have people that are looking to buy houses, they're going to make a much bigger commission. So, So it's tough, but there are realtors out there that specialize in rentals, and that's probably someone you want, or maybe even a property manager that would market it for you. But
exactly. And that's the thing too, when you're just having them fill it and you know, you plan on self-managing, they're even less motivated. But
right.
You know, that's also something that I would do. Like, I know a good property management company, but they will do just tenant placement as well.
Right.
If I could do it over again, I would go to them, because, you know, I have, you know, investor friends that use them that are, you know, happy with their results. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like anything else, you know, you have the experience, you learn. That's essentially, you know, how most of my career has been, whether it was, you know, day trading or, you know, now investing in rental properties, is I, you know, I have the experiences myself, then I know how to do it better the next time. And then I do my best to share those experiences with other people, so they can just do it right the first time, mm-hmm. and hopefully learn from my experience. You know, and hopefully they can, because it saves a lot of time. We don't have to go through right. the pain yourself.
Tell us how you're helping people. So you've written a book. Tell us about your book and how people can find it.
Yeah. So, basically I've taken, you know, the experiences from my investing, my real estate investing career, and, also my kind of my personality of being, essentially a scaredy cat. And I created, Scaredy Cat Guide to Investing in Rental Properties.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's, essentially, I mean, it's really like just a step-by-step, guide through the moment you decide you want to buy a rental property to, you know, the moment you hand the keys to your new tenant, essentially everything that goes into that, and, you know, every step along the way that you're gonna have to go through, from, you know, making offers to, you know, getting an inspection done to what to expect at the closing table, because the first time you sit at the closing table, your head's gonna spin, and you know, knowing what's coming at you and the specific things you should look out for to make sure they're correct is very important. So, yeah, just, you know, almost handholding, you know, people through the process. And then, you know, after you close on a property, what to do in regard to tenant proofing, you know, the property, and, you know, how to screen a tenant and all those good things I've learned over the, last, 3 or 4 years.
Well, it sounds like a great resource. If someone wants to buy it, what's the best way to do it?
I have an ebook, on my website, which is scaredycatguide.com. The book is also on Amazon Kindle, and, it should be, available for paperback on Amazon as well in the very near future.
If you missed any of that, I'll go ahead and put all those links on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode120. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing. I really appreciate it. I'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday, and I'll talk to you then.